Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right. Welcome to the number one Bengals podcast. I'm Daddy McDuke. I'm joined as always by Dr. Hoji the Electric Esmoji and Judge Sheeran. And today we have one of the smartest Bengals fans on Twitter. I'm talking about Mike Santagata, who is known as Bengals Sons, and he does such brilliant film room. He's all over everything the Bengals are doing and what they should be doing. And so today, we're going to talk to him about the linebackers. So I just want to welcome Mike to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming. So, Mike, I don't know if you heard, but defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo came out and he praised Logan Wilson. Sorry, I don't know why I want to say the name Luke so much today. He praised him and said he's entrenched as the starting middle linebacker. And he praised him for his communication. So I you can tell me what that means, but I think that means that he's just very open about his emotions.
Yeah, so it could mean maybe he's just open with his emotions. He's a great person, great listener. But probably means that he does a good job of in zone coverage, telling guy, you got a guy coming under, or I'm passing this guy over to you, or something like that. Or also setting the fronts, which is where defensive line aligns. So maybe he moves guys around really well. But I choose to believe that he's more like the psychologist of the team. And he's always there to listen to anybody's problems.
That's what I want to chime in on there, Mike. Could you comment on the importance of body language? By the way, sorry for the background noise here. I'm connected to a chakra machine. I'm getting my chakras back in order. Actually, that's why I'm on break and not on the show formally. I'm just visiting in.
Okay. I feel like linebackers always have pretty good body language, but when you look at cornerbacks, anytime somebody gets beat, they all have like, whose fault was that? And they all look around the safeties too. They don't want anybody to be blamed, but I feel like linebackers, if they mess up or do well, it's always positive. But you know, you start looking at the guys like corners and safeties, sometimes they don't have great body language. Hopefully our team psychologist could help this.
Okay, great. Yeah. So let's just talk about his performance last season. What did you see? What do you think that Logan is going to look like in year two? Because really, we have him and we have Jermaine Pratt as two guys, the only two guys I think that we can say will be starting, right? That is the weak link of the defense. I mean, the defensive line was pretty bad, but we added enough where we can say, okay, we know they will be average at least. But the linebackers, it's such a question mark. What did you see from Logan and what do you think he'll look like?
Logan specifically, he's probably the best man coverage linebacker. He's pretty fluid. He can hang with running backs for sure. And he's not too bad against tight ends, but anytime you have a linebacker on these now 4-4 tight ends, it's hard, even if the linebackers are getting faster. But I think he needs to get a little bit better at taking on pulling guards and blocks like that a little bit. Gives up his chest. Sometimes they can get inside of him and push him off the ball, but he's young, and for the most part, I think he was a promising rookie. I think also Pratt, I think he goes a little bit underrated by our fans because they're not excited about him anymore. Like last year, there was some excitement for him, and now it's like, oh, Pratt, well, why don't we put Davis Gaither there? But I think Pratt's got the best zone coverage instincts on the team. And then Davis Gaither is going to play on nickel like he did last year, I think. Logan Wilson got the bump up to base downs as well.
Yeah, John, what do you see the roster linebacker core shaping up as?
Well, I remember that hype with Pratt, and that hype was only there because for a decade, Bengals fans hadn't been used to any linebackers with any semblance of athleticism. Think about the best linebacker in the last 10 years here. It was Vontaze Burfict. He was not really that much of an athlete. So when you saw Jermaine Pratt, he converted to safety, playing linebacker and actually playing with some force and also some speed to him, you're thinking, oh, wow, this is what that's like. But, you know, Pratt is still young. He was, again, an inexperienced linebacker coming out of college, and then he went through his flaws for his first 2 years, and that has led to where he is now. It's a very questionable part of his career path, and he still needs to develop more and still needs to be more consistent. And then, like Mike said, like that fatigue is kind of set in saying, oh, you know, that was nice to see for the first time, but, you know, we're expecting a little bit more out of him now. And I think what we saw from Wilson last year, he might actually be a little bit more along in terms of development compared to Pratt, because I mean, Wilson, I think, is older than Jermaine Pratt, even though he came into the league later. He's actually going to turn 25 here in a couple weeks. And I think Wilson has, like Mike said, a lot more instincts in terms of just playing in space and stuff like that. But I want to go back to Akeem Davis Gaither in terms of covering tight ends, which has been an issue for the Bengals for a long time. Davis Gaither, when you look at him as an athlete and in terms of where he needs to be, like, he didn't play that much last year. I think they limited his snaps to maybe, like, at most 10 a game because, you know, they wanted to have him for very specific roles. Do you see him kind of playing more next to Wilson in those nickel downs and being more of an asset in coverage in year two? Or do you think that the role with him is too maybe unrefined right now? We don't really have clear expectations on him.
That's going to be interesting for me. I think he should be probably the nickel down guy next to Wilson. And then Pratt, I guess, on base downs. But Pratt's also not that great of a run stuffer either. I mean, we don't really have any. For the problem we've had for so many years is that we have the big run stuffing linebacker and we don't have these fast coverage guys. And now we have three fast coverage guys and we don't have the Ray Maluga on the team. But I'd take that problem over what we used to have. Anyway, I think he's going to play nickel downs. I think if he's playing still like 10 snaps a game, there's something either Lou's not a huge fan of how he's developing or maybe they really like the other two. But I think he should be upping that quite a bit. I think he's the best athlete. I see him run with wide receivers sometimes or Jonnu Smith or something. I'm like, whoa, he's fast. He's not super, super fluid, but I mean, he's a fast dude, so he's really light. But yeah, so you can't really play him too much on base downs. But yeah, nickel downs, I think that Davis Gaither should be playing a bit.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I liked what I saw from him last year. And he is a guy who's been around for a while on the team. Before Jermaine was Jordan Evans, and he just got a new contract. Can someone explain why? And I don't mean that as an insult, but no. What I mean is, yeah, I'm really confused.
I think it's special teams, man. Like they lost Ethan Carter. They've lost their past two special teams captains in free agency. And I think it was Jeff Hobson recently wrote about like someone like needs to step up there. And I think Evans has been like a leader in terms of those meetings. And he could be the next like punt protector in the punt unit, because that was Sean Williams last year. And he actually had a couple bright moments there in terms of fake punts. But I think Evans right now is just your depth guy. Like, you're not expecting him to play that much on defense, but they lost a lot of special team snaps right now or last year, and he's by far the most experienced guy that they have in that arena.
He's very good at the intangibles, you know. I mean, he's the kind of guy who gets your pass deflection. He's the kind of guy who will recover from COVID. He's the kind of guy who just gets the job done, you know. And that's what I think I really like about him. He'll do the unexpected, and he'll do it unexpectedly.
He had a fun snap last year. We were in 5-0, so like five guys on the line and zero linebackers back. And they looped him all the way around to the edge, and he got a sack. He's still athletic. He's still fun. And yeah, like John said, special teams. But I don't know. I'm fine with anybody getting their money. That's good with me.
Yeah. No, I am too. I'm just wondering because, you know, with this line, like, we need some consistency. You know, we've had so much, you know, upheaval. We've had so much change in the linebacking crew. You know, it would be nice to know who our guys are. You know what I mean? It'd be nice to know who the three or four main guys are. We don't want a bunch of guys in there, you know, getting just a few snaps. So I think from what I understand, it is Logan, Jermaine, and Akeem that are the guys. Those are the guys, right? And then, John, we also have people that their names are showing up when you look at Google, Bengals linebackers. I don't know if someone hacked into the system or if they're actually on the team, but I'll just bring their names here. It's Keandre Jones and Joe Bacci. And
couple Big Ten guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jones was what? He was a college free agent last year at Ohio State, another light guy. He, I think, last on the practice squad just here for camp. I think Bacci was courted by the Bengals in the 2020 draft, but he also, I don't know if he went undrafted or he was drafted by the Saints late, but he just lasted the entire year with the Saints. And then I think in December he was waived, and then the Eagles picked him up. Now the Bengals have him. Just he was a productive middle linebacker at Michigan State, not too athletic, but I think he was suspended for an entire year for or half a year for PEDs. Just depth. Like they have seven, eight linebackers. They had like 10 last year because they just wanted to just throw a bunch of bodies at the problem and just fix it. But you know, he's here for camp, see if he can make some noise. But I think both those guys have to go over Marcus Bailey to actually make this roster. I don't see a huge reason to keep six. I think if the five, Wilson, Pratt, Davis, Gaither, Evans, and then Bailey right now has probably the inside track to be the fifth, because when you compare him to Jones and Bocci, he's probably the most talented. There's the only reason why he lasted to the seventh round last year is because of injuries. But assuming that his entire offseason has been clean, has been dealing with anything, he's fully recovered, there's no reason why those talents can't now start showing themselves now that he has no more injuries to worry about.
Yeah, I forgot to mention Marcus, but it's because he's such a star, such a talented guy. It doesn't even need to be. He was on our show, obviously. So he's so good that, yeah, Marcus is definitely going to be a big contributor with his, you know, he's got very good instincts. He's a lovely guy. He's a lovely guy. Yeah, I'm sorry, Marcus, because he does watch the show.
Have you guys talked yet about Joseph Osai, or has that come up? My connection is not great, so I was just wondering, because the chocolate machines are making a lot of noise. I can't. Well, is the Joseph Osai issue, has that arisen and has it been handled?
Well, we're thinking of him as an edge, not as a linebacker per se. So we're talking about the guys over the middle who'll be tackling running backs, tackling tight ends, those kind of guys.
But they're doing a 3-4 hybrid. So I mean, like, you know, it's a different thing, really.
We can't forget that Joseph Osai in Joe Burrow's first game in 2019 for LSU picked him off as an off-ball linebacker.
Which is why they want him at edge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't exactly. They don't want to make exactly. Joe Burrow look bad. You know, we have a really important question off topic, but it's such a pressing issue that I do feel we have to address it on the show. Let me just put it back up on the screen. So do you think Carson Palmer,
he's like a TJ Watt style guy.
Joseph Osai? Yeah. So look.
Yeah, are we just not going to talk about Joseph?
Yeah, that is all we have to say about Joseph Osai. So look, do you think that Carson Palmer is jealous of signing with the Bears? Absolutely. I mean, that first of all, Carson Palmer is jealous of anybody who has success. That is just the general rule. Any quarterback, any Bengal, you know, we saw that with all the talk about Joe Burrow. So I just want to, yes, thank you for that good question, Brian in Iowa. Absolutely. That is the answer. Okay.
He lives in your guys' heads. It's insane.
First of all, okay.
You love Carson Palmer. You just won't admit it.
No. Carson Palmer, he gave us hope for like a year. And then he just. Yeah. Okay, look. All right. I think we've covered the linebackers. Anything else you want to talk about, John? Yeah.
Capricorn. Is that Carson Palmer in the background?
Carson Palmer's a Capricorn. They live. Yeah, that sounded a lot like Carson Palmer in the background crying. They live by their own rules. They're ambitious. It's what he is. But I blessed Carson Palmer. It was a decision. He is where he is, and we're happy to have moved on from that time.
Yeah, I think Carson has to be jealous of Andy Dalton saying Chicago. Sounds like, I mean, a lot of pizza, a lot of pizza.
Well, Chicago. I think the comment is referring to the fact that Carson Palmer said recently he wished he was drafted by the Bears because they had a good defense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, they went to the Super Bowl a couple of years later. I could have, you know, just tagged along and not had to do anything and go to the Super Bowl and then look better. And maybe I don't have to throw the ball so much and get hit so much. It would have been great. You know, I mean, I understand. Look, I couldn't play football. I would get ripped to pieces. So I understand. He's only, like, what, 6'5", you know, 300 pounds. I'm sure it was very painful for him. Look, I think that is enough talking about Carson Palmer. I don't know why he keeps coming up in the news.
Our show. We know, Carson, you watch the show. We know that you like the show, that you enjoy the show. Carson Palmer, you are welcome anytime on this show.
We will see. We will see about that. Okay, look. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a 5-star review, and follow Mike on Twitter, BengalSans, Bengals_Sans, and John, maybe follow John, maybe don't. He's had enough of some of the people on there. And so for Dr. Roji, Dr. Bismuchi, John Sheeran, and Mike Santagata, I am Tadu McDuke. We'll see you next time. So long, sweetie. Bye.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.